All right, Hurricane Helene has come through and left catastrophic, no doubt, historical damage and loss of lives. They're saying now that there may be up to 1,000 people still missing as of the recording of this podcast. We're going to talk about this hurricane today. We're going to show you that they warned us about this, and then we're going to throw a biblical perspective on this because people are asking the questions of what does this mean? Where is this heading? We're going to cover all that today. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Tuesday, October 1st, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, and I'm your host, Ricky Scaprell, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And today we're gonna touch on this sensitive topic. I am still astonished by the trail of destruction that has been left by this recent hurricane that came up through Florida and swept through the South. And we're going to cover all this today. And we got a lot to go into and a lot to discuss today. Before we get started, can you do me a favor? Smash that like button. Help us get our material out there. Help other people get their eyes on our videos here on Rumble and on YouTube, wherever you may be watching from. And of course, be sure to subscribe and hit that bell notification as well so that you can stay up to date. And as always, guys, we have a free app. We'd love for you to download it today. Go to your Apple Store, go to your Play Store, depending on your device. Download it today. Get all the information right there at your fingertips. You won't miss any podcasts, no breaking news, all prophecy updates. You won't miss any of this stuff. It'll be right at your fingertips. All you got to do is download the free app and hit yes to push notifications. If you guys are watching this, under the description of this video, there's a link that says download a free app. All you got to do is click on that. There's a link right there in there. Click underneath that link that says download a free app. And when you get the app, again, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. So again, guys, Hurricane Helene came up through. You could see this development. It came up through the Gulf of Mexico, and then it was a Category 1. It intensified to a Category 2, a 3, and then eventually when it hit landfall, it came to a Category 4. I'm going to rewind this a little bit. We're showing you the timeline of this. When it came to shore in Florida, it was at a Category 4. What is that? Sustained winds of 140, 150 miles an hour. And then it slowly went up and it downgraded, lost intensity, but still came through, going up into the state of Georgia at a Category 2. Went through, again, it went all the way through up into the western portions of North Carolina in the mountainous regions. It went through portions of Tennessee. It went through portions of Asheville, North Carolina, and again, has left catastrophic damage. We're gonna show you more video on this, and it's absolutely apocalyptic looking, and even some of the verbiage that is being used by some of these outlets is amazing as well. So, and I just want to say, and it's very humbling, guys, that we, the night that this was supposed to come through, my family and I got together, and many other individuals that I personally know that live around in our community, in our vicinity, that are spirit-filled believers, we all came together in agreement, and we prayed, and we asked that the Lord would shift this thing because it was going to be a direct hit right where we live in Georgia, in the state of Georgia. And I woke up that next morning and we didn't even lose power. We never lost power. We didn't sustain, not even a tree fell in our yard. And I was completely, I'll be honest with you, completely shocked. But it when I looked at the radar, it literally shifted. But now there's what's called the survivor's guilt, I guess you could say, because I look at these horrific images and it just rips my heart out. So, you know, we're continue to pray for these people, guys. Do what you can do. Our ministry contributed to helping the victims that were a part of this that's been displaced. They no longer have a place to live. They've lost everything. Some of these have lost parents, family members. Some children have lost their own parents, their grandparents. And all we can do is we can pray and we can do what we can do. If you're physically able and you can be boots on the ground, go do it. Help them if they'll let you do that. Financially, contribute, help, whatever you can do, because this truly is a horrific event. I'm gonna show you some of this video, and these are from different locations where, again, they suffered the blunt of this, the full force of Helene, excuse me.
Over here, there's no electricity. We're going to be out of electricity. The men came out to our neighborhood. They said we're not going to have electricity for another 2 to 3 days. So we're still in the recuperating period. This is going to be a major cleanup. This is taking out all of Biltmore Village, high-end stores, restaurants.
Biltmore, it took out all of Biltmore Village. My family and I were just there. We went last year, and for the first time in my lifetime, I got to go, and we did the tour of the Biltmore and went around there. So it was kind of surreal because we walked that location, and now it's completely submerged under a deluge of water.
People are going to be, we're going to be cleaning up a long time.
Yesterday afternoon, the water started to rise, and we were told to evacuate. We kind of stayed here trying to move some of the things around, maybe salvage anything. We were able to move a few things out, but we, as soon as we got the word that we had to leave immediately because...
Look at that water, guys. Could you imagine?
A breach of a dam. We got out of here, and then within like 20 minutes, the power was gone. And
I mean, this was a pretty good one there. I've learned a lot of stuff by watching it, but yeah, I ain't never run from a storm there. When the water got coming in our house, I had my truck parked back, and I knew the highest point in this town where it's at, and we just, me and my wife drove around there, and we just sit in the truck and watched everything go on there.
Hey, you know, there's so many people like this guy that they will not leave. It doesn't matter. They could say it's a Category 5 direct hit, and they won't leave. And a lot of these people, unfortunately, guys, they've lost their lives. Now, I believe God gives us wisdom, and I get it. Some of these people, they have no choice. They can't leave. They don't have any resources. They don't have a way to get out. And it's just truly sad. It is truly sad.
I don't know nothing but this place. You know, and it's, you know, it's in my heart. It's in my blood. My grandfather's the one that founded this place and all like that. So, I mean, he used to own the whole town, him and another guy. And they, you know, they developed it and all like that. I mean, my family goes back to the 1800s.
Asheville, North Carolina, that town is basically cut off from the rest. Right now, most of the city is totally submerged in water. You can see a Jeep trying to make its way through the flooding there. Not good at all. The water levels in some spots are as high as street signs. Tree branches, logs, dumpsters floating absolutely everywhere. An old church in the town's historic village has a lot of damage, and the pastor says it's not safe.
Yes, it's historic. Yes, it's beautiful. Yes, it's got an incredible past. There is nothing more important than the lives of the people who make up the church. So no one should come down and risk life and limb for things that we can replace.
I want to take you to Asheville now. NBC's George Solis gives us a closer look.
Yeah, these are some of the dramatic images we're seeing here in the Asheville area after Tropical Storm Helene wreaked havoc in this region. Keep in mind, there was a lot of rainfall here from another system that really just made matters so much worse. Behind me here, neighborhoods and businesses completely underwater. We've seen this in several neighborhoods here where people tell us this was worse than that flood of 100 years ago. That's right. That's the.
Now I want to stop. They're saying, again, just like he said, they're saying this storm is the worst storm in 100 years, over a century. This is what they would call a once-in-a-lifetime storm. How many times have we heard this term? Once in a generation, once in a lifetime. This is becoming so normal. And I'm going to explain all that, guys, if you'll just hang on with me. We're going to pull out that we're going to get you into the Word, and I'm going to show you why I believe you're going to hear these terms more often, so you might as well become acquainted with them.
The last time this region got hit with a flood this bad, 1916. Now, while there were other storms in this region that added some flooding here, they say it was nothing compared to this. A lot of people saying here, even though the city did give out fair warning, nothing could have prepared them for the level of devastation they are seeing here. A little context to all of this. Right now, there is limited cell phone service, if at all, and almost no Wi-Fi.
Wow.
For context, again, here, our crew has been unable to get any cell phone service. We have relied on a single hotel in the downtown area to get any kind of messaging out up until this morning. That's how the situation is here. So even alerts going out by the city aren't going to most of its residents. We are expecting some updates.
Wow, that's sad, guys. Again, no communications, no internet, no power. These people have no access to food, supplies, water. It's just, again, a very, very sad situation.
It's here as far as when running water will be returned to most people here. But right now, that is another big issue. So a lot of people are running out of bottled water. Gas is also an issue in this region. Again, this is a catastrophic flood by every stretch that you can imagine, which is why the governor declared a state of emergency, which is why there are other states of emergency declared through the regions here that have been impacted. Again, just taking a look at this flooding, it is dramatic. A little bit ago, there was actually a person kayaking through this water here. We actually spoke to a gas station owner where we were hurt here day one before the storm arrived. That is now completely underwater. Again, it's going to take a while to really assess the full devastation here. But what we're seeing, the damage is just remarkable. And to add insult to injury, it looks like there is more potential rain in the forecast here. The people here just don't know how much more they can take.
Tonight, Helene no longer a hurricane, but still taking homes and lives. The massive.
And by the way, guys, that number 40 is way low. It's gone far more. It's gone over 100 now that are confirmed dead, and they're suspecting it's going to go much larger than that. Again, some sources are putting it over 1,000 people missing. 1,000 people missing.
Massive hurricane that slammed into Florida, overwhelming first responders. Rescues along the East Coast from Florida to South Carolina. In Tennessee, a hospital sending out an SOS when it became surrounded by water. Patients stranded, forced onto the roof, and airlifted out.
Wow.
Helene made landfall on Florida's Gulf Coast, but the impact stretching 1,000 miles across 15 states, killing dozens. Overnight, desperate residents posting previews of what daylight would bring. And in Clearwater, fire departments battling flash floods and flames, searching for those stranded.
Anybody in your house?
With that massive hurricane, now comes the massive response. Local, state, and federal resources all allocated towards Florida and the full power, of course, of the U.S. military. Here in Keaton Beach, devastation as far as you can see.
We have a lot of memories of it. A lot.
Boats tossed onto land and homes completely flattened.
I mean, look at this, guys. It literally looks like a nuke went off. These are apocalyptic scenes.
It's just sad.
Janine McMullen raised her family in Keaton Beach. Her house is still standing, but half of it is underwater.
I told my oldest grandson this morning that I was pretty sure my house was gone. He said it'd be all right. And that as long as we were all safe, and we are.
After crushing the Gulf Coast, Helene moved north. In North Carolina, cars submerged and roads vanished amid extreme flooding not seen in almost a century. NBC News' George Solis is there.
Here in Nashville, the flooding is catastrophic. Homes, businesses completely swallowed by a river that was already swollen by days of rain ahead of Helene's arrival.
And in Georgia, swift water rescue teams ushering this woman and her baby to safety. NBC's Priya Shreedhar is on the ground.
This is one of several neighborhoods here in Atlanta that's completely underwater. It's unclear exactly when this water will recede,
wow,
so people can return to their properties and begin to assess the damage.
In southern Georgia, our Priscilla Thompson talked to a homeowner who narrowly escaped Helene's high winds.
What made you get in the hallway?
When this first tree crashed on the top of the house.
Bill Parmalee lost 15 trees in his yard. He had just finished repairing his home from the last hurricane. A similar story back in Florida.
I didn't realize that we were going to have this much damage, but it's nothing that we can't fix.
Paul Millard's business was destroyed for the second time in just 13 months.
It really hit me in the heart, to be honest with you. We worked so hard to bring this building where it is and to see this happen again.
But I think it's crazy that these people refuse to leave, too. Like, I commend the resiliency, but like, I don't understand, like, there's no way I personally, you know, my family and I thought we contemplated moving to Florida, but I would not want to deal with that. I could not handle having to rebuild and relocate and rebuild and relocate and rebuild. I mean, you know, again, to all you guys that lived on the coast and they did deal with this stuff, you know, again, that's your life. And I commend you for your resiliency, but I know me personally, I could not handle the stress of all that. All right, so guys, as of the recording of this, there is a massive rescue effort underway. Hundreds have been rescued. They're still trying to get the people in Asheville, North Carolina. Again, as we've seen this, there has been, the National Guard has activated more than 500 soldiers and airmen, and more than 200 vehicles and aircraft, including hoist and emergency aviation assets, as well as high water response vehicles. All this, again, is being released to North Carolina, being dispatched there to try to rescue these people. They said, again, as of the recording of this, 119 citizens, I suspect by the time this even airs, that's going to go up, has been rescued. There's been dozens of pets that have been rescued. So this is an ongoing effort. And again, if there's truly over 1,000 people, guys, that have been, that are still missing, then, you know, this could get really bad, real quick. One of the locations that got completely obliterated was Chimney Rock. Chimney Rock in North Carolina was completely destroyed. And this is where a lot of lives were lost. I want to show you some of the images of this. Is just stunning. And this is an image of this is the parents of one individual who are still missing. These are two of many of the missing in this location alone. Look at this. Here's an entire bridge that was completely taken out. This was in Tennessee. And then this is again, drone footage. All this is in North Carolina, so these images are just stunning, and I'm sure most of you guys have probably been inundated with all these images and seen on social media and stuff. So again, entire towns, guys, have been completely wiped out. So much history, so much these lives that's been there for 50, 60. I want to show you, look at this headline. This is from MSN, Biblical Devastation and North Carolina towns flooded by Helene. Biblical devastation. Remember, I told you at the beginning of this that you're going to start seeing, I believe, more and more of this terminology that's coming from the mainstream news. A lot of people is waking up, guys, and they're saying something's going on. Now, we know that they're going to contribute this to climate change. That's obvious. Then you got a whole group of people out there that contribute every storm, every disaster, to man-made weather manipulation, weather warfare. Every single storm, every hurricane, every tornado, every cyclone, every one of them, they'll say it's all weather manipulation. It's all the works of man. But I want to, as I meditated on this and just thought about this entire scenario, I couldn't help but to remember the scriptures of Matthew chapter 24. We're going to talk about that in a second. Now, here's this is the Washington Examiner. Look at this. They're estimating $100 billion in damage. $100 billion. And again, this was published on September 29th. So who knows what the actual estimate is going to be from this. All right, so we've shown you images, we've shown you video, we've talked about the estimated damages, we've talked about what their estimates are of the loss of lives. There's over 1,000 missing, so we know that this was catastrophic. We know that this was historical. We know that this was absolutely one of the worst. This will go down, no doubt, in my mind, as one of the worst, absolute worst disasters in U.S. history. Now, I want to remind you that we were warned about this. This is an article, and I want to show you. This is on your screen. You can see where I've highlighted this. August 8th, they warned us that this would be a highly active hurricane season likely to continue in the Atlantic. And why? Because of La Nina are key factors. Again, there was record sea surface temperatures and La Nina key factors that played into this. And again, the NOAA warned us that atmospheric and oceanic conditions set the stage for, quote, an extremely active hurricane season that could rank among the busiest on record. So, although we haven't had a lot of hurricanes, the one that we've had that hit us, hit America, has, again, been catastrophic and historical. And I want to show you guys that it may not be over yet. It may not be over yet. But before we get there, let's go to your Bible. I want you to open up your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 24. I want to show you something. All right, we're in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. Okay, let's go down here. Again, this is a discourse on when the disciples came to Christ. They asked him, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? He told them in verse 4, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. By the way, just turn on the TV and look in the Middle East, look in Ukraine, look in Russia. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, let's read on verse 7. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. I want to read this to you. All these are the beginning of sorrows. I want you to highlight that word, underline it, whatever you want to do. The word sorrows. Now, this is reading from the New King James. The word sorrows here. Why is this significant? I'm going to explain to you why this is, and I'm going to show you why this is significant with what we're discussing today. The word sorrows here is a old English word that was used to describe a pregnant woman going into labor pains. So when Matthew wrote this, he used this word sorrow, and they understood it in his time as it equated to a pregnant woman laboring in birth. As she begins to feel the intensity of the birth pangs, it was said that she was entering into, and this was a popular term that they understood, she's entering into her time of sorrows. So this is why he used this word. This Greek word is actually odin, O-D-I-N, and it literally means a time of grieving secondary interpretation, birth pangs. So you could put these together, grieving and birth pangs. The gospel writer tells us that the earth itself will enter in its time of birth pangs or sorrow that will be presented or manifest itself in what Christ is describing here. Famines, pestilences, earthquakes. Again, and you can find this, Romans 8:22 bears witness of this, where Paul himself wrote that creation itself would travail and the whole creation will groan and labor with birth pangs together until now. But I'm going to go over here. Now I'm going to go to Gospel of Luke, and we're going to come back to this thought of sorrows or birth pangs. Watch this. Luke, the gospel writer Luke, wrote something. He went further than Matthew, and he wrote, he said, not only will there be earthquakes and pestilences and famines and all these things are the beginning of sorrows. In Luke 21:25, he said, there will also be signs in the sun, moon, and in the stars. You need to go back and listen to Friday's podcast. We did a whole segment dedicated to signs in the sun, moon, and stars. There's an event that a comet that is being seen at its brightest point. And you need to go back and watch that. Okay, so he talked about there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth, distress of nations. Okay, this is just complete upheaval. This is a civil unrest. All this stuff is happening with perplexity. And then he talks about, now this is very intriguing. He said, the sea and the waves roaring. The sea and the waves roaring. In other words, Christ revealed to us that one of the signs prior to his return would come from the sea. He indicates here that there would be one of the signs of the coming of the Lord would be there would be dangerous activity that would occur in the seas prior to his return. Okay, I want to read different translations here. Okay, I'm going to put all these up on the screen for sake of time, but just bear with me and listen. You guys on Apple, Spotify, you already know. You know, you listen anyway. You don't. You're not watching the visual of this, so I'll take my time and read this. But I want you to hear this. Luke again. Luke 21:25 said there will be the sea and the waves roaring, and then the NAS version says distress of nations and perplexity for the roaring of the sea and the billows. The NASB says at the roaring of the sea and the waves. The Amplified version says distress, trouble, and anguish of nations in bewilderment and perplexity without resources. Listen to that. Left wanting, embarrassed, in doubt, not knowing which way to turn at the roaring or the echo of the tossing of the sea. Wow. Here's another translation, the NLT. And down here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. Okay, so we know that there is three natural elements of nature that can produce this roaring of the sea. A tsunami, cyclones, and hurricanes. Again, tsunamis, cyclones, and hurricanes. Everyone who's been in these will tell you that, for example, when a tsunami strikes, eyewitnesses describe a sound. It sounds like a roaring sound that comes from the ocean or the sea before it hits. When hurricane moves inland, have you guys heard this? The footage, the video cameras, the reporters out there, or you're standing out there, it sounds like a dull, loud roar that from the wind and the water rushing ashore. I'm trying to tell you, friends, that Jesus said one of the signs of the coming of the Lord would be you would see the waves and the seas roaring. And he even goes as far as says men's hearts will fail them from the fear of the expectation that are coming upon the earth. Now, I want to go back to Matthew 24. I want to talk about this sorrows thing, the birth pangs of the Messiah. These birth pangs will intensify and increase until the breaking of the water, okay? Let me show you an example of what I'm talking about. When we talk about birth pangs, or what we would call contractions, are a pattern. I want to say that again. They are a pattern. Somebody say pattern. As the body prepares for labor and delivery, the body prepares a pattern of contractions or birth pangs. Initially, contractions are irregular and infrequent. But as labor progresses, these birth pangs typically become more predictable. Wow, guys, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. As labor progresses, they typically become more predictable in intensity, frequency, and duration. Now, here's how the pattern goes. In early labor pains, which is the early stages of labor, contractions are usually mild and may occur every 20 to 30 minutes. These contractions gradually increase frequency but remain irregular. Then you move into the stage of what's called active labor. Contractions become more regular and intense, usually occurring every 5 to 10 minutes and then decreasing to every 3 to 5 minutes. This pattern signals that active labor has begun, and each contraction lasts around 45 to 60 seconds, and they work to further dilate the cervix to prepare for the delivery. Then you enter into the final stage of birth pangs or delivery, which is where contractions are very intense, and they often occur every 2 to 3 minutes, and they last up to 90 seconds. Okay? the increasing regularity, intensity, and shorter intervals between contractions help ensure that the baby is being moved down the birth canal to prepare for delivery. And you say, well, what's this got to do with the Word of God? I'm glad you asked, friend. Here's what it's got. When the gospel writer of Matthew equated all of these disasters to sorrows or birth pangs, he told us, if you want to understand the patterns, you need to understand how God created birth pangs and travail and the entire delivery process. So I just went over that with you. So notice how, again, these things will increase, they'll intensify, and I'm going to show you this. Watch this. For example, did you know that there was a Hurricane Helene that came through in 1958? Now I'm going to show you this. This is in Wikipedia. You can pull this up yourself. Hurricane Helene was the most intense tropical cyclone of the 1958 Atlantic hurricane season. And this is interesting because it was 66 years ago. I'm going to talk about that in a second too. This was the eighth tropical storm and fourth hurricane of the year. Helene was formed from a tropical wave east of the Lesser Antilles. Moving steadily westward, the storm slowly intensified, attaining hurricane strength on September 26. I'm going to show you why that's interesting. As conditions became increasingly favorable for this tropical cyclone development, Helene began to rapidly intensify. Nearing the United States East Coast, the hurricane quickly attained Category 4 intensity on September 26. So notice it gathered strength. It was called Helene. When it reached the shore, it was at Category 4 intensity on September 26. All right, now I'm going to go over here. Hurricane Helene, 2024, the one that just took place. Now look at this. Here's what's interesting. Watch this. Helene developed from a broad area of low pressure in the Western Caribbean Sea in the late September that the National Hurricane Center first began watching on September 17. By the 24th, the disturbance had consolidated enough to become a tropical storm as it approached the Yukon Peninsula, receiving the name Helene. Now let's move on. It was a gradual intensification and became a hurricane early on September 25th, but more pronounced and eventually rapid intensification ensued, and Helene traversed the Gulf of Mexico the following day. Now we're on the what day? The 26th, when it reached Category 4 intensity and came ashore. Are you kidding me? Now, guys, what is that? That is a cycle. That is a pattern. Now, we are not in the tribulation, okay? We are in the birth pangs of the Messiah, the sorrows of the Messiah. Now, again, I told you that these birth pangs form a pattern in the body, and initially, the contractions are irregular and infrequent as labor progresses. In other words, let's speak in terms of Matthew 24, okay? You may see a disaster over here. You may see a war spout out over here. You may see an earthquake come over here on the West Coast and some rumblings on the New Madrid. You may have some historical things happen over here. Some kind of a distress of nations happening over here, some kind of a sign and wonder in the heavens, but it's periodically, it's irregular, it's infrequent. But as we get, as the birth pangs intensify, and as we get closer to the coming of the Son of Man, they will become, watch this, the birth pangs will become more predictable, and they will intensify in frequency and duration. Friends, this is why I'm not shocked that here we have exactly 66 years ago, the same name hurricane, the same category level, and on the same day, it intensified to a Category 4 and hit the United States. Why? Because it's a pattern. It's a birth pain. And have you noticed, again, listen to the terminology that they use. Once in a lifetime storm, once in a generation storm. And they're saying this, watch this, more frequently than ever before. Why? Because the birth pangs of the Messiah are intensifying, friend. And I'm going to tell you something. These will continue to intensify, the birth pangs, the disasters, the distress of nations, the wars, the rumors of wars. Remember, Jesus said the end is not yet. All of these things must come to pass. Eventually, the cup of iniquity will become full, and humanity will have crossed a line wherein which God's wrath will be released across this entire planet, thus thrusting us into the tribulation. This will be the ultimate time of God's wrath and judgment upon sinful nations. Read Matthew chapter 26 and 27. And all of this, the wrath of God and the wrath of Satan is being reserved for the 7 years of tribulation. Between now and then, the world will see and experience again the increasement of travailed birth pangs and sorrows. And I want to reiterate, the closer we get to the return of Christ, these things will intensify and increase more and more. Now, what's interesting is it was 66 years ago that Helene struck. Same time frame, same date, everything. I just showed you that. Here's what's interesting when I did a little research on this. In 66 AD, it was known as the First Jewish-Roman War or the Great Jewish Revolt. It began. Violence first started in the city of Caesarea. Roman procurator Florus then further fanned the flames of revolt when he took money out of the temple treasury and fiend it was needed by the emperor. As a result of this, a war would ultimately lead to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in 70 AD. Stop. When did this happen? 66 AD. And then 4 years later came the destruction of the temple. Now you got to go back and listen to Friday's message. Here we have a sign in the heaven, a comet, a once-in-a-lifetime comet that has not been seen, and they're dating this thing back. If you want to be technical, they're saying it was last seen 80,000 years ago. People were asking me, why did I say it was seen by it was first seen in the time of creation? Because, guys, if you think the earth is 80,000 years old, you're going to put us all the way back to the beginning. So this thing has probably not been seen since I would put it back and date it back to the sense of time of creation. Nevertheless, I talked about on that podcast that comets are seen by the ancients as harbingers many times of war, and comets were seen 4 years. They showed up in the heavens 4 years prior to war. For example, Halley's Comet showed up in 1910, and 4 years later, we entered into World War I. Hale-Bopp Comet was visible in 1997. 4 years later, we ended up with 9/11 and the war on terrorism. And then now here, and then you had, and did you know that in 66 AD, Josephus the historian said that before, 4 years prior to the destruction of the temple, there were strange cosmic signs seen in the heavens before the destruction of the temple. I'm trying to tell you guys, there's things happening that those who have understanding of the times and seasons, they discern these things. And this is what we're doing. We're warning you. We're preparing you so you can pray about these things. And I hate to bring this up, but I do. We've got to talk about this. Even in the midst of all of this, look at this headline. Quote, now this is a meteorologist. There is concern that we will have another tropical system in the Gulf this week. Now, guys, what you're looking at on your screen are these are all these disturbances that are taking place. You got Tropical Storm Joyce right here to the right, down to the bottom. You have Hurricane Isaac, which that's not going to pose a threat. They're saying that Joyce probably won't be an issue, But then you've got this disturbance right here on the left of your screen, which they're calling a robust tropical disturbance that has a, quote, medium chance of developing to a tropical depression or a tropical storm this week. And again, look at the location of this. Right, almost identical, depending if this thing turns, it could literally take the same track as what we just saw. So guys, again, this is historic. This is devastating. This is catastrophic. Could please continue to pray for all of the people that have been affected by this. Pray for the families that have lost loved ones. Pray for those that have been dispersed. Pray for those that no longer have a home. They've lost everything. Pray for them. And pray, listen, above all this, pray for the eyes of the understanding of the lost to be open, because we're in the times, again, of the sorrows and the great birth pangs of the Messiah. And it's only going to intensify. It's only going to increase. And we're going to, I don't believe that we've seen anything yet. I think, again, when you read that in Luke 21, it says the waves and seas roaring. And right after it says, and men's hearts failing them for fear of the expectation of the things that are coming upon the earth. In other words, things have been forecasted. Things have been, we're given warnings that this is coming. This is on the horizon. And there will be men in the earth and women, people on the earth, that they'll be overtaken by such anxiety and stress and worry and fear that this will weigh upon them. And it says their very hearts will fail them from fear of the expectation of the things that come upon the earth. So when you go back to Matthew 24, when he gets down here, he talks about all these things, but watch this. He says, and this gospel, the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Guys, if there was ever an opportunity, my friend, to get the good news out, to share the gospel, to preach the gospel, to get this word out there, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Please, again, share this content. Tag people in it. Let them know that the birth pangs of the Messiah are intensifying. The Son of God, the Son of Man, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords is about to split that eastern sky. That trumpet is about to blast. And the dead in Christ is going to rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. And ever shall we be with him. And we will comfort one another with these words. But it's not comforting to those who don't have a covenant and a relationship with Jesus Christ. So listen, my friend, if you're watching, you're listening, I don't know how you got into this podcast. Maybe somebody invited you. Maybe somebody shared the link with you. You stumbled across the algorithm. If you don't know Christ, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, my friends, the earth is about to experience some of the darkest days, most catastrophic disasters and events that has never been seen in generations. And it's only going to get worse. And my friend, the best thing you can do is not go find a bunker, not build a fort, not weigh yourself down with all kinds of weapons and this and that. You know, you can prepare as much as you want, but you cannot hide from God. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, there'll be great men and kings of the earth that will try to hide themselves from the face of the wrath of God, but it'll be futile. It'll be useless because you can't hide from God Almighty. So stop running from God. Stop hiding from God. And why don't you just surrender your heart to Jesus Christ? Repent of your sins. Ask Christ to wash you and forgive you of all your sin and iniquity. Ask him to give you his precious Holy Spirit to live on the inside of you so that your name can be put in the Lamb's Book of Life. And be saved and born again. That's the best thing you could do. And I pray for you right now that you will make that decision. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for, if it happens to be that there's one individual that's watching, or individuals that are watching or listening or stumbled across this by the broadcast or rebroadcast of this, I pray for their souls. I pray that they would repent and come to the knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ, that they would be born again and their names would be established in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that, Father, that they may rest assured and know that they will be found in you. And Lord, I pray for all of our brothers and sisters that are already in covenant with you. I pray that you'd comfort them and assure them to know that, Father, you said that when we begin to see all these things coming to pass, that continue to look up and lift up our heads, because we know for assurance that our redemption is drawing near. Father, and we pray, we continue to pray for those that have been impacted by this hurricane and the lives that have been turned upside down and lost and will never be the same again. We pray for their peace, their comfort, and their salvation in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Again, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Pick up your free app today. It's available on the app on Android stores. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away. Listen, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you, all of the above, we would love for you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. There's two different ways you can do that right there on your screen. If you will go to the app, that's the easiest way. Go down and click on donate. It's going to take you to a page where you can give electronically through various ways to do that. And again, you can go to the main website and do that. If you guys are watching this by YouTube or Rumble, in the description, there's a link there. If you guys are watching by the YouTube chat, there's a link up at the top where it says donate in big bold letters. Just click on that link. You can give there, or you can give by check or money order. And you can make it out to right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, I appreciate you so much coming in today, being a part of our broadcast. We're going to sign off for tonight. Lord willing, we'll be right back here tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I pray that the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.